Good afternoon, everyone. Like I was presented, my name is Raina King. I'm a graduate student with Dr. Robert Wright at Texas Tech and Dr. John Ganaway at the Texas AgriLife Research Center in Lubbock. And we started looking at the caducus bract of Gossypium hartnessii, and we were looking at the physiological mechanism behind it. Part of the reason why we wanted to look at this is the cotton bracts are the leaf-like material found directly underneath a flower or as it matures the bowl that is attached to the pedicel. The bract tissue senesces shortly after the bowl opens, and it becomes very dry. And when it does, and especially if you put a defoliant on your crop, it will lie against the cotton lint and become entangled. This causes a major problem, especially once you go into the ginning portion of it, because the bract tissue makes up between 45 and 55% of your leaf-like trash that is found in your gin trash. It's extremely difficult to remove because it's easily broken into smaller particles and becomes even more entangled into your lint. Excessive cleaning is needed during the ginning process to remove the bract trash, and all the trash is not removed because it can break up into smaller particles. Another thing that it's kind of a side to it is bracts are also thought to carry a water-soluble bacterium that increases the risk of bisnosis, or also it's also known as Jenner's lung, which is a bronchular infection, kind of like bronchitis or asthma. And just a little example, of course, we have the fresh bract tissue of a flower that is about to fertilize. And then once defoliant is put on, and this is from the West Texas or the Lubbock area, the bracts dry, and they are the only thing that is left on the plant after a defoliant is put, or the only leaf-like material that is left on the plant after a defoliant has been put on. So this is the problem that we're looking at. And this picture is the exact same bowl I showed you just a minute ago. I just reached over and snapped it. And as you can see, the bracts break apart and become entangled into the lint. So this is the big problem that we're looking at. And we're trying to remove the bracts so we will not have this problem. This is stripper harvested cotton that we had from the Lubbock area. As you can see, there's bark trash in there, but majority of the smaller specks are the leaf-like trash or bract trash that's causing our problem. And then once you get into the textile portion of it, this is cotton that is ready to go for a cleaning and then into spinning. And there's bigger portions of leaf trash, and then there's pepper trash, which the pepper trash is mainly smaller particles of the leaf trash. So we wanted to see if we could remove this from our population to decrease the amount of trash. So we started looking at the caducus bract. The caducus bract is a bract that senesces shortly after fertilization or a little bit further into maturation and falls from the pedicel of before the flower is open or before the bowl is fully mature. It is only found in three diploid species of Gossypium. They are Gossypium hartnessii, Gossypium armorianum, and Gossypium turneri. Their breeding value has not been extensively studied. This is a picture of Gossypium hartnessii. This is a flower at the day of anthesis. And in the circle here is where our bract is supposed to be attached. And there is no bract no longer there. So we wanted to look at this and see what we could find. So the first portion of our project was the physiological project. We examined the bract tissue of Gossypium hartnessii to determine where the abscission zone begins. And we also wanted to look to see the senescence as in response to fertilization. The flower in the center is a positive 1 DPA flower. As you can see, it's not pink, it is yellow, so these do not turn from the cream color to the pink color, so we have to time these very specifically. This is the typical abscission zone that we would be looking for. The parenchyma cells become impacted and cause a comfort zone for the plant so the abscission can happen without causing any problems. This is a picture of a positive 1 DPA Hartnessii flower. We were looking to see if we could find the abscission zone, and then the circle here is where the bract attaches to the pedicel, and we are not seeing this configuration. So once we got a little bit closer, we noticed that the parenchyma cells were no longer there. At first, we had thought this was possibly a bad cut, but we looked over 500 slides with 10 samples per slide and even more, and we got the same configuration. So to make sure that we were not having problems with our slides, we also incorporated scanning electron microscopy to see the full attachment area. At the positive 1 DPA, there are cell deformities and holes in areas where the attachment should be to the pedicel. This is a closer image of the positive 1 DPA. You can definitely tell that there are elongation problems or elongated cells that are not looking the way they need to, and holes that have appeared in the attachment area. We compared it to Gossypium hirsutum, which the epidermal cells and the parenchyma cells all are aligned and in good shape. So we decided to go ahead and compare hirsutum and hartnessii at different time intervals. We compared it at negative 10, negative 5, negative 3, negative 1, and positive 1 DPAs to test when this abscission or this cell death was occurring in correlation to fertilization. It was kind of easy to figure out the days for the hirsutum. As most of you know, on the first position bowl on the first node, the day that it flowers, the first position bowl on the next node will flower in 3 days, and the second position node on that, or second position bowl on that first node will flower in 6 days after. So it was a little easier to figure this one out. But with the Gossypium hartnessii, it's extremely variable since it is a wild species. So we had to come up with a way to distinguish the timeline. So we looked for our first square. It was distinguishable between a leaf and a square. At that date, we measured, tagged, and dated it. We waited until it flowered, which was approximately 30 days from the sign of our first square. From that, we went ahead, went back, tagged some more first squares, and dated the rest of them to get our DPAs. At negative 10 DPA, we see that the epidermal cells and parenchyma cells are still very aligned and look very well. Compared to the hirsutum, they are about the same. At negative 5 DPA, we start to see just a little bit of deformities. We're seeing a few holes, especially around the vascular tissue, which, if it'll let me, will be these areas here. And in comparison to the hirsutum, they are not having these problems. At negative 3 DPA, the deterioration of the parenchyma cells is becoming very evident, when with the hirsutum, they are very aligned and becoming a much more compact area. And by negative 1, we have a lot of deterioration, more holes in the areas, especially around vascular tissue. And with a negative 1 hirsutum, again, we have a solid piece. So with the conclusion of this is we determined that between negative 5 and negative 3 DPA, parenchyma cells are becoming distorted and breaking apart, which is the cause of the senescence of the bract from the pedicel of the Gossypium hartnessii. We also wanted to look at interspecific breeding of this. So we wanted to examine the inheritance within the D genome of the caducus bract, and we also wanted to see if polyploidization would mask the effect. So we first crossed Gossypium hartnessii with Gossypium raimondii. We have now got F2 populations to determine homozygosis, and we have also crossed our F1s with Gossypium arboreum to test the polyploidization. So far, our F1s were created successfully, and we have now got an F2 population, which we are still studying. They are showing great progress right now. However, they are photoperiodic, and a few of our F2s are showing our trait that we're looking for. We have done a few crosses with the arboreum, and we have tried to use colchicine to create a synthetic tetraploid, and that is being tested as of now. Our future research is to continue the populations of the D genome to create homozygous populations for the caducus trait, and also continue with the synthetic polyploidization. And possibly in the later future, we will be looking at QTL analysis for this trait as well. And now I'd like to acknowledge my chairs, Dr. John Ganaway and Dr. Robert Wright, Mr. Charlie Lynch from the Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center for the use of his facilities, my collaborators at Texas AgriLife Research Center in Lubbock and Texas University and the Plains Cotton Improvement Program for their help. And I'll be happy to take any questions.
You were looking at this for primarily brack trash reduction, but another possibility would be bull rot reduction, because you don't have the bracts up against the carpal as it opens up.
Correct. There was a few studies in the reading that I had done before that had looked at a little bit of that along with boll weevil and spider mite, but not a lot of study had been done with it.
There's Pinkard and someone I can't recall the other person's name, did a lot of manual pulling off the bracts.
Yes.
And they established that reduced the incidence of boll rot in Louisiana.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There are studies showing that the bracts do help with yield, and there are studies that have shown that it does reduce the boll size, the boll seed count, and the lint, but we have not seen it so far. But the biggest thing is we're using only a D genome, so they're smaller pieces. It's still part of the wild species, so that portion of it has not been studied completely.
There is also, you know, you can think in terms of, there's really an excess of leaf foliage on cotton anyway. Maybe that could compensate for most of the bracket.
Yes, sir.
Any more questions? Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you.